Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Wednesday, May 29th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app and streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stenslin with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Terenzo, our associate producers. It's a hump day. Tony Bruno joining us at 8:30 this morning. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you as well, Gregory.
Yeah, buddy.
I don't know what that weather was yesterday, but if I could replicate that for another 364 days in a row, that'd be beautiful.
A little too windy for me.
I enjoyed the gusts.
Yeah, no.
Goldilocks over here.
I know. Hair just blowing in the breeze.
Yeah.
As he's out there doing his mulching.
Mm.
How's that mulch coming along, by the way? Everything good?
Everything's good, man.
Grass is good.
Yeah, good.
Dawn, you mow the lawn?
Good.
Nope.
Nope. Getting a little high?
I'm on a strike.
Oh, are you? All right. Care to give any details on the air? Any resistance being fought in the household? You will get out there and do that lawn, woman. Me and the boys have potato chips to eat and ball games to watch. Oh, we got a lot of good stuff to get to today. Robert De Niro. Oh, man. I'll just leave it there with the big take.
De Niro.
Joe's replacement poll. The numbers are growing. The candidates are growing. Could a swap happen between June and August? We'll get to those details as we continue. And Hillary Clinton comes out and says, ladies, you let me down 8 years ago. She still can't let it go. The Trump verdict looms. Closing arguments yesterday. We'll go through a couple of the key moments from Todd Blanche. And also some of the theatrics inside the courtroom. And our old buddy, our old pal right here in the great state of Pennsylvania, Bob Casey, says, women's sports, not really worth fighting for. All right, Bob. We'll get to Bob in a little bit. And Gen Z, picking up the slack within family households with part-time jobs to fight inflation. We'll get to that as well.
Weren't we just complaining about them yesterday, Kale, weren't you?
They're hit or miss.
They're, you know, not, though.
Is the tool belt generation, thumbs up. The feelings, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Part-time job, thumb up.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's 50-50 these days with this,
got
this
it.
Group.
Yep.
Yeah, you point out the good and the bad.
No, I hear you.
I try to be fair and balanced. Didn't Fox used to say that back in the day?
I think they still try and do.
Brett Baer?
They try and do.
Fair, balanced, and never afraid. as I put you to sleep from 6 to 7 p.m. But anyway, cut sheet at 7:45, Tony Bruno at 8:30, and much, much more. But let's get to the news. Round number one right out of the gate here at 6:04. The great on strike, Dawn Stensland.
And good morning this Wednesday morning, May 29th. We're at 62 degrees. I'll tell you whether or not the forecast is as good as it was yesterday. Coming up, we are sponsored this morning by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. So we do have a developing story as we begin this morning. Multiple teenagers in custody this morning after a stolen vehicle fatally struck a motorcyclist. This happened in Philadelphia last night, Front Street, Hunting Park Ave, about 8 o'clock last night. Philadelphia police officers saying that a Kia SUV was driving north on Front Street, ran a red light, struck a motorcycle that was traveling west on Hunting Park Ave. That motorcycle driver, identified only as a man in his 40s, was pronounced dead at the scene, according to authorities. Investigators say he did not appear to be wearing a helmet, which in Pennsylvania, it's not a law. You don't have to wear a helmet. However, there is surveillance video and there are images of the moments before the fatal crash. After the collision, the Kia continued down Front Street for about 1,000 feet before pulling over. The driver and other teens in the car then ran off on foot. That's according to investigators, but police were hot on their chase quickly after chasing these five juveniles on foot for about two blocks, caught them. They are all under arrest, underage. The driver of that Kia, by the way, is said to be a 17-year-old boy, 17, but they've all been taken into custody, 15 to 17 years old, three teen girls, and then another teenage boy, plus the 17-year-old driver.
You know, I don't know that it matters, but I would love to know if the individual driving the Kia actually had a driver's license. Not that that really means much, because even at 17 with a license, usually most kids are not great drivers. Secondly, not surprised it's a Kia. But I love the fact in Pennsylvania that we don't require the motorcycle helmet, but I've never driven a bike before or rode a bike before. I don't understand why some people don't take the precaution to wear a helmet. I'd love to hear from our biker crowd, if they're out there, as to, you know, maybe in the YouTube chat, as to why people don't wear a helmet and take that, I don't know, that extra precaution.
Yes, it's not the law. But as far as your question about the 17-year-old driver, whether or not he has a license, I can only tell you that the Kia was a stolen vehicle from Northeast Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps the teenagers are not worried. They're not worried about following the law,
no,
getting a license.
Well, yeah. What is it about Kias that make it so easy easy to steal?
I know. It's always one of two models. It's either the Kia or the Hyundai.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, some of them, it went viral, and they've tried to have all the owners bring the vehicles back. But there's something about them that you can actually jumpstart it with a USB cord.
Wow.
Really?
I remember, back in the day, you'd hotwire the car, right? You go underneath, rip the panel out, put a couple of wires together, whoosh, little spark, and you start it. Hey, you just bring a USB port.
Just bring a USB, hope it works.
Just bring an iPhone charger. You swipe a car.
No, it's not for the brand new ones. They fixed the problem, okay. And they're trying to say, go back to the dealership, they're going to fix it for you. Not everybody got that memo.
Mm-hmm, no.
So this was a stolen vehicle. And police are asking anybody with more further information on this incident, call police. But they continue to track the stolen vehicle, find that owner and all of that. But it was reported stolen. We have President Joe Biden and the Veep, Vice President Kamala Harris, together. And they're stepping up their reelection pitch to black voters, which they're launching a new black voter outreach effort during a visit to right here, Pennsylvania. We're the battleground state. We're where it's at. So the two are going to stop at Girard College, which, as you know, is an independent boarding school in Philadelphia, not so far from where we're broadcasting right here live, Odyssey World Headquarters in Philadelphia. But Girard College, a predominantly African-American student body, and they're also going to visit a small business to speak to members of the Black Chamber of Commerce. So they're coming here today, and this in light of, the latest polls. If you think of Biden's approval dropping from 94% when he started his term to just 55%, according to the latest Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research poll. And that poll was out, I think, a month and a half ago, but significant drop.
Yeah, they've lost about half of their base, well, at least in the polls.
We talked about teenagers in Philadelphia and teenagers down the shore yesterday. Just updating you, in the Wildwoods and Ocean City, there are many meetings today to try to get to the bottom of the situation with the Utes gone wild. As far as Wildwood, their mayor and Ocean City as well, down the shore, releasing statements and talking about the fact that these are policies by Governor Phil Murphy and the Democrat-controlled legislature that do not work. Laws of the state tying the hands of police and calling on particularly Governor Phil Murphy to change the policies, because they say these policies led to a weekend of chaos.
Democrats, policies, failures that don't work. Seems to be a common trend these days. Not surprised.
Well, it's cops that can't arrest kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That let them go with a warning, a slap on the wrist, and they know there's no consequences for their actions.
What's the point of being a cop in America in 2024 if you're basically relegated to being a mall security guard?
It's true.
You know? Seriously, I always used to laugh 20 years ago when I was working at Foot Locker in the mall. I see a mall security guard, I'm like, this guy's got no ability to do anything. That's what our police is now hamstrung with. Just they're going to tire themselves out. Let them go.
Okay. Maybe just give them a bulletproof vehicle and an extra camera so they could just record what's going on. Mm-hmm. Get back in your vehicle.
Yep.
Just record all of it.
Yep.
I don't know what the answer is. The the office of Governor Phil Murphy responding, saying that it's an overreaction.
Yeah, of course.
It was an overreaction, and it's being blown out of proportion. Yeah, it's the news narrative they're claiming.
Right.
And that it would be unfair, particularly to the black and brown community, they say.
Yeah.
It would be unfair to jump to any conclusions or toughen up any of these laws.
Yeah, just keep it moving, Boomer.
The tornado did indeed touch down in Schuylkill County on Monday night, Memorial Day, as severe storms moved through our region. According to the National Weather Service, they have confirmed it was an EF1 tornado with maximum winds of 90 miles an hour. And so this one traveling northeast of several minutes before it did dissipate. But the crews were out there. They confirmed it was a tornado.
I'm going to have to find you this video, but there's a video of a golf cart at a golf course in Schuylkill County. To your point with the tornado and the 90 mile an hour gusts, the golf cart gets nobody was in it. It was just sitting idle in the parking lot, and it gets completely blown over. Whoa. 90 miles an hour. Unbelievable.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, they can't blame a tornado because they were out west. The Phils, eek, they lost 1-0 to the Giants.
Oh, what a riveting game. Can you imagine staying up 10 innings? That started at 9:40 last night. Can you imagine staying up for a 1-0 game?
It's 12:45 in the morning and nobody scored a run. What am I doing with my life?
Oh, man. Brutal. You know you're a baseball fan if you're watching that hot mess.
Yeah.
Well, playing the Giants out west again today, facing a possible sweep, hopefully not, but today would be it would be the fourth loss if it happened today.
By the way, shout out to our sister station, Dave Uram over there on KYW. Yeah, does a great job for sports. He had sound clips of every Phillies player saying, "It's baseball.
It's baseball.
It's baseball.
It's baseball. It's baseball."
Amazing.
Right. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's just one of 162.
It's baseball.
It's baseball.
It's baseball.
It's true. It is. It's May 28th or May 29th. But my God.
Yeah, if you ever get the chance to go out to that stadium, that on the bay, that place is gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
And then when you're done, you can go to Target and shoplift some toiletries and make a whole trip out of it.
It's a sin.
That's not actually in San Francisco proper, though, is it?
I don't think so.
No.
But you said yesterday we just have horrible luck there. It was like a jinx.
Yeah.
It's a haunted place.
Yeah, they've been a pain in the butt for about 15 years now.
Yeah.
So we are sponsored by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is their season. They're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for, did you know it's National Flip-Flop Day?
Oh, grab your God.
Nick Kale.
Hey, Dawn, that's every day.
Kale, okay. Are you wearing them?
Oh, dear.
Is today Wednesday?
You're really wearing flip-flops?
Ew.
Well, here, wait. Put it up on the screen.
There we go. They're getting tan, too. Oh, my dogs are looking nice.
Woof. National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops. Head to your local cafe. Starting today, May 29th, from 2 to 7. Terms and conditions apply. It's Tropical Smoothie Cafe. We're at 62 degrees right now, heading up to 78, but we could see storms later this afternoon. Tomorrow, 75 degrees, more clouds than sun for your Thursday. Friday, 76 degrees, a lovely Saturday, 82 degrees, mostly sunny, and then Sunday, 84, partly sunny. So a beautiful stretch once we get past today, hump day, as we do have some storms and showers moving through. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:14 on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by Stiles CFO Services, the Big Take, Fear Factor, Dems, and Depression. You know, yesterday on Kale & Company, I said for the first time ever on this show that if the election were held today, Donald Trump would be victorious. That prediction and statement was based off of following the money. It had little to do with the polls or last week's turnout for Trump with his rally in the Bronx. But yesterday, the Biden administration hit the panic button as the incumbent and his staff are in full freakout mode in Manhattan. Donald Trump's trial in New York resumed yesterday with closing arguments, and it's absolutely a sign of desperation and a knee-jerk reaction from Trump's Bronx support that they would pull the stunts that they did in the Big Apple. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is the fear factor? How about an 11? Why do I say that? Well, first of all, we found out early on Tuesday that the Biden camp would be once again going back to the Democrats of yesteryear and pulling out the big guns to drum up support, as Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama have once again been called on to help salvage the sinking ship that is the big guy's re-election bid. Now, the 81-year-old Biden has resorted to using 80-year-old washed-up hack Robert De Niro to play his tired, stale, Italian mobster tough guy act. You know, I used to think that Joy Reid, Joy Behar, Rachel Maddow, Hillary Clinton, Howard Stern, and Keith Olbermann suffered from the most long-term symptoms of Trump derangement syndrome, but I now take that back. Nobody has it worse than Robert De Niro. And we've heard countless people over the years say that democracy will die if Trump gets reelected, or phrases such as, this will be the last election ever if Trump wins. He's never going to leave the White House. But Scarface, well, he takes it a step further. The government will perish from the earth if this man is reelected. Listen and watch this clip.
Under Trump, this kind of government will perish from the earth. I don't mean to scare you. No, no, wait. Maybe I do mean to scare you. If Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss these freedoms goodbye that we all take for granted. And elections, forget about it. That's over. That's done. If he gets in, I can tell you right now, he will never leave. He will never leave. You know that. He will never leave.
For those not watching on YouTube, De Niro is literally reading from a typed up script. He's flipping through a packet like it's the Kale & Company show sheet. But it didn't stop there. De Niro then proceeds to call Trump supporters clowns. Where have we heard that before? Maybe it was actually Kathy Hochul that sent Robert the email talking points. Listen and watch this.
But this city is pretty accommodating. We make room for clowns. We have them all over the city. People who do crazy things in the street, we tolerate it. It's part of the city. It's part of the culture. But not a person like Trump who will eventually run the country. That does not work, and we all know that. Anyway, we make room for clowns, to each his own. But no one takes him or took him really seriously. They take him seriously now, of course.
You might recall the story we mentioned a few weeks ago about washed-up wrestler and WWE legend Ric Flair blowing a gasket at a bar over his tab. And I said it's pathetic when someone who is a performer and an entertainer takes that character over into his real life. Robert De Niro just told the Nature Boy to hold his beer. Listen and watch this final act of desperation and despair.
Democrats, you are gangsters. You are gangsters.
You're washed up.
You.
Get me out. You're a little punk. You're a softie. You're a nobody. Your movies suck. You're trash. You're trash. You're done. You're done after this, my guy. You're done.
Don't start playing on us, man.
That was De Niro getting into a shouting match with all sorts of curse words and expletives with a guy wearing a MAGA hat across the street from the Trump trial. Now, according to the Associated Press, the actor was given orders from the Biden campaign to focus on January 6th. De Niro also went on to call Trump a tyrant. Tyranny and mean tweets? Well, if that means cheaper groceries, cheaper gas, a safer country, no wars, law and order, men not being in women's locker rooms, sign me up. But the fear is real. And I think my timing of my Trump statement yesterday in regards to an election victory, if held today, was spot on. I can sense it. I can feel it. And I think the left knows it. Frank Luntz is a Republican pollster and a political consultant, and he tweeted the following in regards to a Politico column, and he says this, quote, "A pervasive sense of fear has settled in at the highest levels of the Democratic Party over President Joe Biden's re-election prospects, even amongst office holders and strategists who previously expressed confidence about the coming battle with Donald Trump." According to Politico, quote, the headline reads, "Dems in full-blown freakout over Biden. One advisor to major Democratic donors keeps a running list of reasons that Biden could lose." And Politico writes the following, quote, "All year, Democrats had been on a joyless and exhausting grind through the 2024 election. But now, nearly 5 months from the election, anxiety has morphed into palpable trepidation, according to more than a dozen party leaders and operatives. And the gap between what Democrats will say on TV or in print and what they'll text their friends has only grown as worries have surged about Biden's prospects. You don't want to be that guy who is on the record saying we're doomed or the campaign's bad or Biden's making mistakes. Nobody wants to be that guy," said a Democratic operative in close touch with the White House that was granted anonymity to speak freely. But Biden's stubbornly poor polling and the stakes of the election are, quote, "creating the freakout," he said. "This isn't, oh my God, Mitt Romney might become president. It's, oh my God, the democracy might end." Despite everything, Trump is running ahead of Biden in most battleground states. He raised far more money in April, and the landscape may only become worse for Democrats, with Trump's hush money trial concluding, and another, this one involving the president's son, set to begin in Delaware, end quote. Here's the deal. I think more than anything, from yesterday's meltdown by the Democrats and Robert De Niro's little hissy fit, was the real admission that the left just made, that this prosecution, or persecution, is actually political. Here's Trump senior advisor Jason Miller in Manhattan. Listen and watch this.
Thank you, everybody. Jason Miller with the Trump campaign, here with Caroline Leavitt and Stephen Chung. So the Biden folks have finally done it. After months of saying that politics had nothing to do with this trial, they showed up and made a campaign event out of a lower Manhattan trial day for President Trump. In fact, Biden's cronies had a printed out campaign sign saying Biden Harris. So why the change? Why is Joe Biden now making this a campaign event after months of weaponizing the legal system against President Trump? Because Joe Biden's numbers are in the tank.
In the tank, up in flames, and going down the drain. And you can take this to the bank. If Joe Biden is an unmitigated disaster in the June 27th debate against Trump, the calls for Joe to be swapped out in August will reach code red levels. Not saying that it'll actually happen, but the urgency to make the change will only increase. Kamala, Gavin, maybe even Shapiro might want to start getting loose in the bullpen and doing some long toss because the starting pitcher is running on fumes.
and the pitching coach has already gone out to the mound once. The next visit will be from the skipper, and he might just give the hook to his ace. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Big Take this morning brought to you by Stiles CFO Services. Stiles CFO Services offers a full suite of accounting and financial services to help transform your company, big or small. Visit StilesCFO.com for your free 21-point assessment. Every organization needs a financial leader. Let Stiles CFO Services be yours. 855-839-1210 is how you jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the Kale & Company comment community, just go to YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Have your voice heard and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll come back, get some thoughts on that. And then also the polling numbers when it comes to Joe Biden and how Democrats feel about the possibility of swapping out the big guy. We'll do that on the other side. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. Just about 2 months ago, stopped out to see my friends at Piazza Acura of Westchester. And as somebody who owned an Acura for 10 years, you have got to sample and give this vehicle a test drive. It is the Road and Track Performance Car of the Year. I'm talking about the 2024 Acura Integra. Now, I was an Acura ILX owner for about 11 years almost, and the new Integra, by far, the most striking Acura I've seen. Well-equipped with advanced safety and tech features like wireless, Apple CarPlay, high-performance adaptive damper system technology, Wi-Fi hotspot capability, and, of course, their premium 16-speaker audio system. Visit PiazzaAcura.com or test drive the new Integra today in Westchester, Ardmore, or Reading. And tell them Nick sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
As we continue here, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, the music playlist courtesy of our buddy Brian Kester, King Shooter Supply in King of Prussia. He donated $500 to the Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. And with that, you get a week's worth of musical rejoiners. Courtesy of whatever Greg Stocker has in that system. How many of these songs do you have to search for, by the way?
A lot.
Yeah?
It's all good.
Yeah? So you're actually doing a little bit of work. It's not like you just gave it away.
No. It actually makes my job a little harder. But it's all good. It's all good. I enjoy it. And all the money goes to charity.
Yep.
Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. Last week, it was the Travis Manning Foundation. I believe next week, we'll have another selection from somebody who donated to the Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon as well.
That is correct. And also, we have to give a little bit of a shout-out to David Gelman Law, who will be sponsoring the Families of the Fallen bike event for Team Kale.
Yeah.
Coming up on July 21st. So thank you very much, David Gelman. If you're in need of legal services, GelmanLawFirm.com. You might have seen David on Newsmax or Fox or some of other outlets. I think News Nation as well. As he's been, he's a criminal defense attorney, and he's been offering his legal analysis local here in Jersey on the Trump trial in Manhattan. So, very cool guy, and David, we appreciate that very, very much. All right, so let's get to yesterday, and I've got some polling here from Rasmussen, courtesy of the Daily Wire, about a Biden replacement. Also, Todd Blanche and his closing argument, some of his key statements in his final remarks, and they're expecting this verdict, hopefully, by the end of the week, if not today, tomorrow, or Friday. I don't know if this is just, you know, a blip on the radar and people will forget about this, but I'm sitting there and I'm seeing all of these clips of Robert De Niro. Jeez. And it's like, it's one thing if you're out there and you're just shooting from the hip and you're told by the Biden administration or it's a favor or I don't know how they arrange it, but he's obviously there on behalf of the Biden administration and railing against Trump, the Associated Press. And that's not just an accusation from me. The Associated Press legitimately said that De Niro received his orders from the Biden administration, but he's sitting there with a packet of papers. Mm-hmm. And he's reading the Hollywood script for the first time, and they're going through the walkthrough dress rehearsal before they start shooting the newest film. Now, Dawn, here's my question for the entire audience, and I'll start with you. I don't know, because we have seen the numbers. After Roe v. Wade, Republicans have lost every single election. I think the number's 0-9. And it could very well be 0-10 this fall on November 5th. But I'm wondering if the Biden administration thinks that abortion
is not enough to carry them across the finish line. And think about what we have seen. You've seen Trump in the Bronx. You've seen the polling numbers. Joe is flat. Joe's numbers are not moving. Mm-hmm. Trump is widening leads. Then you've got freakouts from the mainstream media. People on The View, all these mainstream media shows. Hey, what celebrity that's black can we get on to try to push the vote and, you know, bring the black vote back to the Democrat? Then, of course, you have James Carville freaking out. The spaghetti won't stick. The black people ain't coming home to the Democrat Party, as we played you that clip yesterday. Everything they are doing is falling on deaf ears. And I think this really goes to show you yesterday the level of fear that they have, that for whatever reason, their strategies are not working with the American public, at least in the eyes of public perception and at least with the polls. I think they are really in full freakout mode right now.
Yeah, but I think yesterday was a blunder for the Biden campaign, and the whole team was there. So not just De Niro, the whole team was there. Right outside the courthouse, to me, that was a blunder because, of course, no matter what the jury comes up with, and we may see a verdict by the end of the week. It could be early next week. They could start deliberating today. But I feel that for that Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, it just stacked that right on top of saying they can say to the appeals court, see, persecution, prosecution. Mm-hmm. They were showing their hand as they come right outside the courtroom while we're doing a marathon day of closing arguments. Cause that was, I mean, they started right 9:30 yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The De Niro stuff happened and we carried some of it on the air during 10 to noon. I was out all day with, you know, it was the first day of track and field and we had a parents meeting last night. I get home and I pop on Jesse Waters and he goes, yeah, the marathon day of closing arguments have just ended.
They didn't wrap up till 8 o'clock almost.
Oh my goodness.
Right. It's a 10 and a half hour
Holy
day.
Holy moly.
Right. And I think the prosecution had 4.5 hours of closing arguments. To which, you know, Todd Blanche comes
out.
The
best.
And he just nukes everything. There's
the gloat line?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was funny.
Trump was fist pumping like he was one of the Jersey Shore cast members on MTV, according to a lot of these reports with people that have access to it. We'll get to these replacement numbers on Biden, but here are, courtesy of the Daily Mail, the 10 reasons of doubt that Todd Blanche gave in his closing arguments. He said, number one, the invoices were sent by Cohen. Quote, nothing to do with Trump and were accurate. Number two, Valentine's Day communications. No evidence that Trump ever saw the payment vouchers. Number three, no evidence of intent to defraud. Number four, no intent to unlawfully influence the 2016 election. No federal election campaign act violations have been demonstrated. Number five, no illegal agreement to influence the election. Any deal with the National Enquirer was just a normal part of working with the media. Number six, AMI would have run Sajudin's story. The story of the Trump Tower doorman was not true. That's why it wasn't run. Number seven, McDougal did not want her story published. Number eight, Stormy Daniels' story was already public. Number nine, manipulation of evidence. Cohen's phones were wiped and synced at different times before data were taken from them. And number 10, Michael Cohen, quote, he's the human embodiment of reasonable doubt, says Todd Blanche. So, you know, it's going to be pretty much in the hands of the jury now. I still think the most likely outcome is a hung jury, which is a de facto victory for Trump. But even, and you've mentioned this in the past too, Dawn, it's not just guilty, hung jury, or acquittal / not guilty. Even if Trump is found guilty, you know, the appeals process will play out. And of course, if it goes through that process, you know, we could see some different results come down the road, which obviously is the defendant's right to appeal a verdict that they do not find favorable, fair, or just. So I think you've laid that out in the past with that in the last couple of weeks that we've talked about this.
Yeah. So that great line of gloat, Judge Mershon could not let that go. And so just reading through the court records and what happened, they go to lunch And now they come back in the afternoon, and the first thing that happens is the judge, Juan Merchan, instructs the jury, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, that essentially Blanche's line about Michael Cohen and as well of saying, talking about the fact that Trump could go to jail, which quite frankly, if you look it up, it's 34 felony counts and he could face up to 4 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So the judge instructing the jury to disregard all of that from Blanche, saying that in fact you will not make any consideration of any jail time, any punishment. That's up to me, the judge. So your job is to look at the charges and are they warranted, etc. But, you know, again, I think that's another piece of grounds for the appeal, because you're taking somebody's closing arguments and you could have put that in the instructions, but nope, he had to do it right when they came back from lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well said. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. And then, of course, on the Biden front, we've been talking about how his polling numbers continue to lag the betting market. Now you've got millionaires and billionaires out in Silicon Valley and some of the biggity bigs, as Dawn likes to say, that are coming out publicly and saying, I've got more of an issue with Biden. I don't want a 25% billionaire tax. And I get it. There's, you know, I don't know how many billionaires there are, but I'm not sure that, a couple of billionaires will absolutely influence the election from a total raw vote. But you have a lot of these people that are saying they actually, on second thought, after further review, after 3.5 years of Joe, that maybe it wasn't as bad as many people thought under Trump. So the Rasmussen poll comes out, and the headline on the Daily Wire is, majority of Democrats approve of replacing Biden with a new candidate, the poll finds. The Rasmussen poll of 1,113 likely voters, which was conducted from May 20th to May 22nd, found that 54% of Democrats think that it is acceptable for another candidate to replace Biden as the Democratic nominee, and just under half of all likely voters, 49%, say that they approve of the Democrats swapping Biden out for another candidate, while 43% of Republicans agree, which is interesting, because I'm wondering if Republicans think maybe the Biden replacement is more of a threat to knocking off Trump than Biden is. Kind of an interesting number there. And then a couple of other figures here. Democrats did not, however, think that it was likely that Biden would be replaced, with only 38% saying that they thought it was probable and 57% saying it was not. Of the respondents, 17% said that Vice President Kamala Harris would be a better candidate than Joe Biden, 21%, and then 11% said the same for Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton. Gavin Newsom is on the list, as well as Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, but no mention of Josh Shapiro. And maybe you take Shapiro at face value, he's got no interest, blah, blah, blah. But every time you hear a name that's thrown out and names that are omitted, it always raises my eyes a little bit. And I'm wondering, Shapiro would be a runaway winner.
To be fair, that was one USA Today op-ed writer that threw his name in there. I mean, we've been speculating about him because I think that he definitely has presidential aspirations. I mean, mm-hmm. You can't look at the guy and not think that. But the thought that he's going to swoop in here now in the 2024 election is slim and none.
I would say 28 or 32 is far more likely. Yeah, I would agree with you on that front. But if you're just looking at it right now, if you're the Democrats and you're sitting in a closed door session, a smoky dark room, and you're like, what are our best options? Like, I think Shapiro's a better sell than Newsom.
The problem is that, I know the poll says that they want Biden replaced, but they don't actually think he's going to be replaced. I just, it's the thought, the likelihood that that's going to happen, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm betting against it.
Like, these are the candidates, guys. We're 6 months out from the election. These are the candidates.
So you're off the switcheroo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I never thought it was going to be a switcheroo. I said at the beginning that I thought it was going that one of these candidates wouldn't make it to the finish line, but I don't think that's happening.
Let me throw two variables into the pot here. Let's say Trump is found either not guilty or it's a hung jury. Either way, a victory for Trump in this first of four trials.
And let's say that happens at some point this week or early next week. And then, of course, by the way, the calendar flips over to June in just a few days, folks.
Wow.
And let's say Trump absolutely rocks Biden in that debate. First of four trials up in smoke. Debate, Joe gets completely whipped.
No.
Do you change your opinion then?
No.
So it's ride or, you think it's ride or die with
Yes.
Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. Dawn, you agree? Ride or die with Joe if you're the Democrats? Or do you still think there's a percentage chance somebody else takes that stage in August?
I think there is a 9% chance.
9%. Wow, 9%.
So you're saying more than 8, but less than 10.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd say there's a 9% chance if things go horribly in June, the Democrats have their contingency plan in place, well, and they'll get her done because somehow they all pull together and somehow pull this stuff out, which is what scares me.
Do you have the story in front of you about the Ohio ballot issue, about it going virtual?
I can find it. It's in my packet somewhere.
I mean, that shows you right there that this is that he's the guy. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to, they don't want any shenanigans. Mm-hmm. They don't want anything.
Well,
they're virtually nominating.
And they're also avoiding a lot of the protests and things like that that could show up at the convention, right? I mean, I'm assuming, you know, people might still show up to you know, do their whole protest and their boycott and everything that's been going on since October 7th. But, like, that's what Democrats, they love virtual. It's amazing. They just love, let's just do everything for the rest of our life on Zoom, folks. So
President Joe Biden formally nominated as the Democratic presidential nominee through a virtual roll call ahead of the party's official convention in Chicago in August, a maneuver that will allow Biden to appear on the November ballot in Ohio. AP story talking about that.
Yep. All right, if you want to jump in, 855-839-1210, the number. We've got the cut sheet 1 hour from now. Tony Bruno at 8:30. And when we come back, how about this? Hillary Clinton in the news yet again. We know she'll be coming out to try to give Joe a little bit of a boost, but she blames 8 years ago on the women of America. The details when we wrap up hour number one next on Kale and Company.
So if you're thinking about all the parties, the gatherings that you may have this summer, and you want to update, maybe the front door, maybe you need a few windows, maybe you need full window replacement, think Chapman. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they do a great job just celebrating 30 years in the industry. Mike and Mark Chapman, they've made my home more beautiful, more energy efficient. I love the work they've done. So if you are looking for windows, doors, siding, as well as stucco remediation, I would trust nobody else with this critical investment in your home. These certified Chapman installers, you want them. They are the professionals you want on the job. And think about this, that gorgeous James Hardy plank, or what about the beautiful choices in vinyl siding right now? It's going to add value, certainly add beauty to your home. Get this on the calendar now to call or text 610-431-8898. They're listing right now, like-minded, the Chapman family. They're local, 610-431-8898. Take a virtual tour, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. I love all the before and after photos so you can get a sense of the work that they do. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, happy Wednesday to everybody. Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, you can watch us live on YouTube. If I see Charlamagne the God one more time on television about talking the Joe Biden reelection bid, and he's on Fox and Friends this morning, my God. It's like, is he the only guy with a platform that talks politics from the left that they can go to? It's unbelievable. And that's for mainstream media and Fox News and every other outlet under the sun. Speaking of people that just need to go away, just want to wrap up here in the 6 o'clock hour with Hillary Clinton. By the way, it's been 15 years since Hillary Clinton was last elected into office in 2009 when she was the Secretary of State. We're going on a quarter century now since Bill Clinton was in office.
You're not elected Secretary of State. You're appointed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was in the middle of a thought, but
I'm just telling you. I'm just trying to be factual.
I know.
I'm just trying to be factual.
I got like 90 seconds to wrap up. Sorry. So, you know, so she's the Secretary of State, and now she's coming out, and, you know, they are
Did I throw you off?
Yeah. I just totally.
But I just. But,
no, I know. But I was like, I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So she's all bent out of shape over the fact that 8 years later she can't stomach the fact that she lost to Donald Trump. So now she's blaming it on women. And I don't know what some of the voting data points look like from 2016. I didn't go back and research this, but she says the following. Women left me because they couldn't just take a risk on me. Because as a woman, I'm supposed to be perfect. That's interesting. I've never thought a woman had to be perfect in any line of work, even maybe running for president, where we have never seen a female become president. And I do believe one day that a female will break through, whether that's Democrat or Republican. I think it's going to happen at some point. And I actually think it'll happen some point in my life. She says they were willing to take a risk on Trump, who had a long list of, let's call them, flaws to illustrate his imperfection. Because he was a man, and they could envision a man as president and commander in chief. She also went on to say that she believes at some point we will see a female, but not anytime soon. Clinton was discussing her new book, The Fall of Roe, The Rise of a New America, in which she also gets into some of the conversation that happened with her and Comey. And Comey eventually saying that he wouldn't recommend charges against Hillary Clinton, this going back to all the emails, but called the former Secretary of State extremely careless. Quote, too many women, particularly too many young women, did not understand the effort that went into creating the underlying theory of Roe v. Wade. And the young women on my campaign made a very compelling argument that making it safe and legal was really the goal. I kind of just pocketed the framework of Roe. We didn't take it seriously, and we didn't understand the threat, she goes on to say. Quote, most Democrats, most Americans, did not realize we are in an existential struggle for the future of this country. She says the right is relentless. You know, they take a loss, they get back up, they regroup, and they raise more money. I would argue that's the way the Democrats operate as well, and maybe even do it more effectively than Republicans. She says it's tremendously impressive the way that they operate, and we have nothing like it on our side. That, to me, and the reason I wanted to read that was, I feel like that's more of an illustration, again, of the fear right now that is going through the Democrats. Because if you took that last couple of quotes that I just gave you, I would say that's what Republicans say about Democrats and how diabolical they can be. And as Dawn always says, how Democrats at the end of the day always rally and get it together, where the GOP does not. But it's very interesting that she here 8 years later saying it's the ladies that left her. I think it was Americans just saying, we don't want the Clintons back in the White House again, and we certainly do not want Hillary and everything that she has been tied to in the past. So just say that, pass that along as we wrap up the first hour. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to Dawn's news to kick off hour number two. And then, of course, we've got the cut sheet at 7:45 and also some local stuff along the way. As Bob Casey says, fighting for women's sports, it's not really a venture worth battling and delving into. I disagree as a father of twin daughters. We'll get to that as we continue. Hour two is coming up next. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.